Okay. Thank you, Lord, that we are free to come and listen to your word. And we pray that we will have hearts and minds that are open to what you have to say to us. And we just pray for Elaine now that her words will be your words, her thoughts will be your thoughts, and that she will just rely on your Holy Spirit to give us what we've got to hear today from you. Amen.
Hello. So my talk today, I prayed about it, and it's going to be on comparison. So it's why compare? And it's really challenging because comparison is something, as a group of people, we do all the time. We compare ourselves to other people by the way that they look. We compare ourselves to other people by the way that they act. Just we're in a world where images are everywhere and we can't help but compare ourselves. And today I'm going to look at maybe the positive sides to comparison. I'm going to look at the negative effects of comparison and how it can be damaging. And then also I'm going to expel every negative thought with biblical truth. That's what I'm going to do today. So firstly, can comparison be a positive thing? I think the word comparison has a massive taboo around it. When I think of the word comparison, I think that's bad. You shouldn't compare yourself to anyone, like, ever. It's damaging. But when I was praying about it and then thinking about it, I actually thought, I think there's an element to comparison that is positive. Comparison gives you something to strive for. It helps you grow. Bear with me, because it sounds, just me saying it sounds horrible. Positive comparison, what? But let's look at Jesus, okay? If we look at Jesus and the disciples that were around Jesus were looking at this great man, and they were thinking, wow, look at him discipling to people. Look at him being kind to that person. You know, I want to do that. And I think that is comparison, but in a positive way. I'll come back to that. But my favourite bit is in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And it's when Jesus comes up to Simon and Andrew, and he says, like, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they drop everything. They leave their families, and they go and follow this amazing man. And it got me thinking, like, did they think, oh, this complete stranger, who some people say is a lunatic, I don't know, he's telling me to follow him, I'm just going to do it, because he looks all right, he's nicely dressed, I'm just going to do it. I don't think that's why they followed him. I think they followed him because they saw something in him. They said, oh my goodness, look at this man. There's something different about him compared to me, and I want to be that. I want to have that. Okay, they're comparing themselves to Jesus in that sense. I'm going to skip back. So as followers of Jesus as well, we are constantly kind of comparing ourselves to Jesus to be more like him. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. When we live in him, when we abide in him, we are trying to walk like him. We're trying to walk with him as disciples of Jesus. Also, when we look at the Bible, we look at biblical truths. We look at the word, we look at the truth, and we compare it to our lives. We think, actually, do I have all the fruits of the Spirit? Am I kind, like it says, am I loving my neighbour? And we look at our lives and we compare, and then we think, actually, I want to be better. You know, it helps, comparison helps us, gives us something to strive for. The next picture is, does anyone, it's a bit unclear, have one of these wristbands that say WWJD? Anyone? Okay, one person. Anyone else? I thought people would have them. Okay, two people. Okay. So WWJD means what would Jesus do? And quite often we give the bands to, like, little kids at camp. What does it mean? It means that when you're in a difficult situation or any situation, you think, I wonder, what would Jesus do in this situation? If you're saying that, saying, what would Jesus do in this situation? You're clearly comparing, don't worry about that, you're clearly comparing yourself to Jesus in a positive way. It'll come back eventually. I would categorize all of that as positive comparison. You know, knowing that as followers of Christ, we should aim to be more like Jesus. You know, comparison in this sense isn't there to make you feel guilty. It's there to help you to give the freedom, to have the freedom to grow, to think, actually, I need to be more like Jesus and more like this amazing man. And I'm going to try really hard to do that and to change things about myself to do that. Bear with me a second. Yeah, but when does comparison become a negative thing? Now I say that comparison becomes a negative thing when our self-worth changes. When our self-worth either decreases or when we start ranking ourselves. So for example, if you think, oh my goodness, that person over there, their kindness is amazing. Look how amazing their kindness is. And you say, actually, I think I want some of that. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to give myself a goal. I want to be more kind, okay? I'd say that's positive. It becomes negative when you say, oh, look at that person's kindness. Look how amazing they are. And you go, but look at me. Look how rubbish I am. That's when your self-worth goes down. That's when comparison becomes negative. You're not striving for anything. You're just saying, I'm just rubbish. You're tearing yourself down. Or it can be like what the sign says. You go, oh, look at their kindness. Look at their kindness. And then you say, but my kindness. Well, that's like loads better than their kindness. And oh my goodness. And so I'd say I'm like first in the kindness rank. And then that person's second. And then there's some people down there. Don't want to be down there. That's negative as well. I'm sorry, your self-worth is going way, way up to where it shouldn't be going. I think that's when comparison becomes just so negative. The thing is, as Christians, we have all these amazing truths that say we don't need to compare ourselves, that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves. So in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, it says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You are perfect. He made you this perfect human being. He made you that perfect human being. You don't need to compare yourself with anyone else because God is not comparing you. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 to 14, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Why would Jesus or why would God sit there and painstakingly plan you out and make each and every one of you like an artist when they make a sketch, they think, oh, I've got this great idea, I'm going to sketch it out, I'm then going to create it. Why would God do that and make you not perfect? I think there's a big kind of misunderstanding that, okay, with Adam and Eve, God made us as perfect, and then we kind of mucked it up by eating some fruit that we shouldn't have, and we got kicked out of the garden. And I think people have held on to that, and they hold on to the fact that I'm not perfect, we're humans, we're not perfect, I'm just rubbish. Our self-worth goes down, we're like, I'm so rubbish. Look at Jesus, he's perfect, I'm nothing. Well, actually that's a lie, because of Jesus you are something. It's just a lie that a perfect father.